A message worth sharing. Commentary for the September 19th, 2020 Sabbath School lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 through 5. One of the most important rites of passage for a teenager in the United States is being able to drive a car. The young man or woman who has passed the necessary exams to obtain a driver's license is no longer dependent upon dad, mom, or older siblings to get around town. The liberating feeling of being able to go alone to visit friends and to eventually own one's own vehicle is so important, we are often reluctant to surrender that privilege, even when advanced age, slowed reflexes, and diminished sight tell us we should. Some learn to drive through driving schools that teach specifically to be able to pass the driving exam. Even having someone we do not know in the car is a simulation of having the driving examiner in the car with us. Others, with parents or other relatives who are already licensed, may be taught by close family members who will not only teach driving fundamentals, but may also share tips based on their knowledge of the new driver's overall skill and temperament, as well as safety information they have learned by experience. Unfortunately, this can sometimes cause problems if the driving examiner is not aware of that information. For instance, I taught my son to always lock the doors before putting the car in motion. When he took his driving exam and the examiner got in the car with him, she told him to pull out onto the street. Naturally, he locked the door before moving. She unlocked the door. He locked it again. As a result, she failed him, and he had to take the exam again later with another examiner. The second time, he passed without a problem and became another newly licensed driver. When I learned to drive in a driving school offered by my high school, I struggled to get enough driving time to do well, as my father would not allow me to practice with the family car. As a result, I made many mistakes as I tried to follow the instructions of the teacher, and at times it may have been scary for him and the other students in the car. But I had no opportunity to develop the skills outside of class as the other students had. For instance, what may seem obvious to those with more experience, I did not know that while driving I was supposed to look down the road to keep the car on a straight path. Instead, I was looking directly in front of the hood. When a driver does that, they must constantly correct their course with short, jerky movements of the steering wheel. You can imagine what this meant when driving in four-lane traffic during rush hour. I was terrified of all the cars moving so fast and so close around me. The instructor, who had assumed that everyone had already had some experience with the family car, was concerned about my lack of skill, and as soon as he could, placed another student behind the wheel. Because of my poor performance and because the school district only funded one course of driver's education per student, I was unable to get licensed until I was 18. Fortunately, I went into the Army at 17. The Army did not require a driver to have a state driver's license to drive their jeeps, trucks, and armored vehicles during the Vietnam War era. Consequently, I had lots of driving experience by the time I turned 18, and easily pass the state licensing exam. Sometimes as Christians, we become like I was driving. We do not look down the road to remain on course. Our faith can become an automatic reaction to whatever the hot issues of the moment are. We know we must stay on course. We do so by making quick retorts to the threats we see around us, fearing that a failure to respond will cause our spiritual car to crash and hurt ourselves and others, as well as derail our journey. We end up endangering a successful trip more than helping it. If we are familiar with the Bible, we know well the God of wrathful justice portrayed in the Old Testament. With knowledge of our own shortcomings, we are uncomfortable with a God who is like that. If his justice did not spare those who made poor choices in the past, what will he do about our poor choices now? I doubt any of us could manage to tread water in a deluge for 40 days and nights. Even though God provided a way out with the ark, few people found their way into that vessel. There are so many examples like that of God's justice in the Old Testament that it is unsettling to our modern sensibilities. We are far more comfortable with the inclusive message of Jesus, where those who made bad choices were welcomed into his presence. The New Testament profoundly speaks of the loving character of God, and just like God, we should all be loving to one another. This is exchange the God of justice for God, the social warrior. Everything socially, politically, spiritually becomes a matter of whether it is based on empathy, compassion, and love for others. So we try to emulate that in our lives. We often do not do it well. But when we fail, there is grace to see us through. For many, this means we can forget about the punishment of the wicked that is so much a part of the Old Testament. Surely Jesus would not do the kinds of ethnic cleansing that occurred back in less enlightened times. As a result, we tend not to take seriously issues of obedience to any of those passé requirements. That is what grace is all about, right? But there are hints that some of that attitude may be based more on presumption than reality. For instance, Jesus said he did not come to abolish the requirements of the law. Some read this as meaning that Jesus didn't abolish the law, but fulfilled it so that we don't have to, and the law no longer is necessary. But Paul, who was probably the most educated of the apostles, saw a problem with that view. He believed that without the law, we cannot see our need of repentance, and voiced that in Romans chapter 7. Elsewhere, he makes clear that being under the law shows our need for grace, but once we receive grace, we are no longer under that condemnation. He voiced this in his letter to the Galatians. However, so many who have laid claim to that grace have failed to emulate Christ's character, believing that because he was obedient, we don't need to be. This is like a person who is pardoned for a crime and then feels that since they were pardoned once, they should continue in crime. Their pardon is assured then, no matter what. But this is where looking further down the road helps us to remain on course. The Apostle Peter told us we need to look further down the road in his second epistle. If we look down that road literally within the Bible, we see in the book of Revelation that the God of justice portrayed throughout the Old Testament returns and is the same Jesus we have presumed upon overlooking our transgressions. When he comes and the blood of the wicked flows for 300 kilometers at the depth of a horse's bridle from the winepress of his wrath, we may remember that our being forgiven was not a get-out-of-jail-free card. We who have been forgiven have become debtors to God for that forgiveness, and the only way to honor that debt is to extend similar grace to others. But instead, we point to their debts and demand that the penalties of justice be paid for their sins to the last farthing. Jesus, the one we cite as loving, compassionate, and always forgiving, has little tolerance for this. The parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18 is often overlooked, but it is Jesus' warning that grace is limited. He repeated similar warnings throughout his ministry, even including it in the prayer we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, where we ask God to forgive us as we forgive. Somehow we have gotten off track. We are too often ready to go to war with one another over issues never mentioned in the Bible. We eagerly point out the lack of compassion, empathy, and a sense of justice in the hearts of others, and forget that in doing so, we are partaking of the same poisonous fruit. Evidence can be found in our demand for retribution over compassion. Like the unmerciful servant, we want justice, we want it now, and we want it to the last drop. We take too lightly that the blood of those we so accuse will be on our hands, and that blood will be required of us in kind, should we make the effort to look down the road and see it. Even more reason that we should be building up stores of mercy for that day. It may not be as far off as we think. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find footnotes for the verses referred to in this commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. God's blessing on you and your family.